Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
Forced to face the twin barriers of racism and sexism, Black women leaders are underrepresented on most college campuses. Despite being underrepresented in campus leadership, Black women receive a majority of higher education degrees earned by all Black students, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. On Howard University's campus, however, women are the majority in executive and decanal leadership. This strategic choice was made to ensure we effectively cater to the needs of our student body population, which is approximately 70% female. This year, we welcome the second female administration in the university's history of the Howard University Student Government Association, more commonly known as HUSA. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guests today on The Journey are the 2019-2020 HUSA President and Vice President, Taylor Ellison and Raina Henderson. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Frederick.
So this is the second female HUSA slate in Howard's history, and your slate name was Wake Up HU. So let's start there, and maybe we start with Taylor Ellison. You could tell us a little bit about why Wake Up HU and what it means.
Okay. So we wanted to do Wake Up HU because we wanted to be radical and just make a huge difference. And we wanted to encourage authentic leadership. And so saying that you don't have to look a certain way, you don't have to dress a certain way, you don't have to even speak a certain way. Whoever you are, that's good enough. And as long as you love Howard and you have that passion, you can be a leader. And just truly to wake students up and let them realize that they don't have to be in organizations or a part of clubs, that all of us are Howard.
And at Howard University, there are over 200 clubs. So there's obviously a lot of pressure. There's a lot of social pressure as well in terms of the activities that take place. So what are some of the elements under Wake Up HU that you hope to accomplish, Raina?
So I would also say, just to elaborate on what Taylor previously said, I think Wake Up HU is a matter of understanding that a lot of the student body right now feels as if they don't have faith in student government and administration either. And so there's this lack of efficacy amongst the student body population. And so you see that that ultimately manifests into complacency. And so Wake Up HU was also a matter of quite literally saying, you know, wake up. This is not the time to be complacent. This is not the time to just say, okay, well, I acknowledge issues, but I'm going to speak about them on this platform, or I'm going to, you know, just be upset about them. Rather, what can you do to wake up and actually aid the issues that you see at hand? What was the following question, Dr. Frederick?
So with that in mind, what are some of the specific things that you hope to accomplish and put forward in terms of policy that speak to that platform?
Right. So for one, you know, we've noticed that in terms of health and wellness, a lot of students feel as if that's lacking on Howard University's campus. And the truth of the matter is, like I said, there's this sort of feeling that a lot of these things do not exist on Howard's campus, and so that turns to complacency. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of these things actually do exist. It's just a matter of students having to find resources rather than resources being brought to students. So one thing that we're really looking to implement, for instance, is safe sex vending machines. And what those look like is taking the same free feminine products and contraceptives that are already offered to Howard University students free of charge and placing them in faces of students. So we'll have these in discrete locations where it works just like a vending machine, and so you can take out contraceptives, you know, safe sex products, things like that. We're also, you know, working on what we can do to improve Howard University's retention rate. So as of right now, Howard University has a fairly low retention rate. And of course, that is due to financial issues, but also it's really due to a lot of students' inability to maintain a steady GPA. And so what we like to see is ultimately a retention program in which students have the opportunity to take a full semester of classes, and these would be optional, of course, but a full semester of classes in which there are mandatory therapy sessions, in which, you know, there are study skill courses, tutoring sessions that can hopefully get students back on track to prepare them for the next semester. And so assuming students would do well in that semester of retention courses, then that would be able to raise their GPA so that they can carry on with their scheme. You know, we have a lot of things on our platform. I would encourage everyone to go to wakeuphu.com. We have about 100 platform points, and so we've rated them in terms of priority and what we'd like to see accomplished for us at Howard University's campus. And then, not to speak too much, but, you know, something else that we're very passionate about as well is understanding the responsibility of Howard University as an institution in which people know the name. So Howard University as a title carries a lot of weight. Howard University as a predominantly black institution carries a lot of weight. Howard University as a mecca of black education where so many incredible black professionals have come from holds a lot of weight. And so with that being said, as Howard University, it's our responsibility to step up to the plate and, you know, as your student government, say when we see things incorrectly, because, and it's interesting, Dr. Frederick and I were just speaking about this before being on air, but Howard, people watch Howard University very closely. And so if we are able to speak out on injustices that we see taking place, you know, that's something that will be broadcasted. So whether it's issues with immigration at the moment, whether it's, you know, the Flint, Michigan water crisis, Howard University also has a responsibility to the country and the world, as well as our student body.
So let me take it back to Ms. Ellison. With that in mind, as you mentioned, issues that obviously are germane to Howard, but obviously Howard is a microcosm of the larger world around us. And you look at in the middle of a presidential cycle, a lot of these issues are being discussed actively, you know, throughout the country. What around those issues right now, or which one of those issues in particular, you think really you are particularly sensitized to as you look at the Wake Up HU platform and you look at Howard University's role in potentially being a solution to one of those issues?
I think we have a lot of passion points on our platform, and the whole point is to start it at us and then make the conversation larger. And so right now we're really focused on sexual assault, working with HU Stand, fighting sexual assault, dating violence, not only on our campus, but on all HBCU campuses and hopefully campuses all across the country. And so right now we are working with other HBCUs to also have their own Who Knows FAMU stand, stands, PV AMU stands. And so hopefully that this can be not only a Howard, well, we know that this isn't only a Howard issue, but hopefully everyone will take the initiative to stand up against this.
You're listening to The Journey. My guests today are the president and vice president of the 2019 and 2020 Howard University Student Association, Taylor Ellison and Raina Henderson. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Just want to switch gears a bit to get probably a little more personal so that we get a sense of who the both of you are. So you, Ms. Ellison, you had parents who attended an HBCU, probably in a different era. Tell us a bit about your background growing up, where you grew up, and what family life was like, and what led you here to Howard.
Okay. So both of my parents graduated Prairie View A&M University, and that's in Houston, Texas. And so growing up, they always instilled in me black excellence, and just going to HBCUs, they showed me the importance of having that foundation. And so starting off, my elementary school, St. Phillips, in Dallas, Texas, this is an all-black Christian private school. And so instead of regular classes, we took the history of civil rights, and all classes we took were of the African diaspora. So instead of ballet, we took African dance, and it really just instilled a foundation of me of just knowing who I am and the greatness I come from. And so then going to predominantly white institutions in middle school and high school, I stood out. I was the first black prom queen at my high school. I was also the first black senior president, and it was because, again, I had that foundation of this black excellence, and I knew that I was destined for greatness and that my people have already broken down those barriers for me. And my mom always told me to shoot for the moon and I'll land amongst the stars, and I've just kept doing that my whole life, and I ended up here. I feel like Howard University is the epitome of black excellence, and I wanted to be around people that, you know, had the same background as me, but we're so different and has so many different perspectives. And that were, again, different, but the best at what they do. And that's what excellence means to me. And so in there, being in this environment just to grow, that's what I wanted. And so that's my background.
And as you pursue your degree in marketing with your community development minor, what are your long-term goals?
So I want to work in corporate social responsibility. So whether that's people, values, diversity and inclusion, I want to be the Black woman at the table who says this is where we're putting our money and make sure we're investing and utilizing those resources in our own community. And then one day I would also like to own my own community center.
And Rena, tell us a bit about where you grew up. A little bit in Harlem and Inglewood between the two. Tell us a little bit about that. I have to admit, I'm a little biased. I spent some time in Canarsie, so I love to see Harlem, New York, and Inglewood, New Jersey.
There we go. I grew up back and forth between Inglewood, New Jersey, and Harlem, New York. And my parents ended up separating, and so my father lived in New York, my mother lived in New Jersey, and so I spent equal time ultimately in both locations. Growing up, I went to predominantly white institutions for all of elementary school, middle school, and high school. My parents have always been very big on education, especially, you know, raising Black children. In many ways, education is one of the only things that we have that can halfway secure a future, especially given, you know, the discrepancy between Black and white wealth and the wealth gap. And then, you know, when you're a woman, that's even more challenging. So you have the gender wealth gap, and then you have the race wealth gap against you as well. Regardless, my parents were very big on education. And as many know, New York's public school systems are actually quite terrible. One of the most segregated school systems in the world. And so, you know, my parents were fortunate enough to be able to send me to private schools. So, like I said, I went to predominantly white institutions for the majority of my upbringing. And, of course, that came with its own challenges. There are certain things that only Black individuals will understand, and there is a certain sense of white entitlement and, you know, the superior complex that I think a lot of Caucasian individuals inherently have. And so, you know, I think I became a very politically charged individual, especially in middle school. And I will say, I think the murder of Trayvon Martin is what really did it for me. That's when I really began to see the difference in thought patterns between myself and my peers. Regardless, I knew that I wanted to attend an HBCU after having attended predominantly white institutions, because I feel like, honestly, I think every undergraduate student should attend an HBCU if they are of color. I think that's very important. I think that, you know, regardless of whether you go to a predominantly white institution or predominantly Black institution, during your upbringing, if you're going to school in America, you're going to be learning through a Eurocentric lens. And so an HBCU is really the only place in which you're going to be able to finally learn through an Afrocentric lens. And so when we think about higher education, I think a lot of people misinterpret what higher education means. And so they see higher education as solely the realm of academia. But truly, higher education is a matter of educating yourself in general, and much of that education I see as self-education, how can you apply what it is that you're learning that's knowledge-based to the world as you see it? And you can only see the world as you see it if you understand fully what self is. And I think only an HBCU can teach a person of color that, as I said. So I knew I wanted to go to an HBCU. It was ultimately between Morehouse, Spelman, and Howard. Of course, I couldn't go to Morehouse. Spelman, I visited.
Not yet.
Yeah, right. Of course, I couldn't go I didn't want to go to Spelman. I felt like Spelman was very conservative in many ways. I'm somebody who doesn't really like to conform to any sort of constructs. And so the feeling that I had to conform to a certain gender construct and wear certain things on certain days and pearls and everything else, come to find out I'd be wearing pearls anyway, but that's another story. So, you know, Howard was really the choice for me. Howard, I felt like I was able to be myself. It was an eclectic group of students. You know, you have students from everywhere. You have students from almost every country in Africa. You have students that are Black American across the nation. You have, you know, Caribbean Black students. And so just to be around what truly embodies Pan-Africanism to me is really beautiful. I could really go on talking about Howard for days. Please stop me when you're ready, Dr.
I feel the same way, so I appreciate that. Thanks for being here. My guests today are the 2019-2020 Howard University Student Association President and Vice President, Taylor Ellison and Raina Henderson. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time for part two of this conversation on The Journey.